again, ladies and gentlemen. Ghost Nobody here, ready to bring you chapter 149 of Radiance, my original Fallout fanfiction. As always, if you can like, share, and subscribe to this wherever you can, and leave feedback at sites via fanfiction.net, archiveofourown.org, or even at my own website, ghostnobody.com. I always enjoy reading your comments and seeing what you're thinking. And, you know, if you've got any ideas, you're always free to leave them on my Discord or on these sites. And, you know, if I like the ideas, I might pick them up and use them. You never know. But if you do pop over to ghostnobody.com, why don't you check out Stormrider? You know, if big surly dragon-esque girls, orcs and elves, magical realms, and human mages are your sort of thing, check it out. You might enjoy it. And also, while you're there, why not pop over to the Ghostly Link section? Check out Mortis, my original novel, for sale on both Smashwords and on Amazon. Pick it up. Help support me and keep me doing what I love, bringing unlikely alien romance stories to you good people. So, without any further ado then, let's get on with the show, shall we? But first, the usual legal disclaimer. I don't own Fallout or anything to do with it, that's all Bethesda. I just keep Crazy Tales happy. Let's get on with the show. Chapter 149, Logistical Nightmare. Sasha managed to get the communications up and running through a relay system that the underground storage facility had built into the control tower. I was there to communicate with the surface should need be. With a bit of jury-rigging and Russian ingenuity, he managed to get it up and working to the point where he was able to put a call into the Minuteman's HQ, known as the Fort, to tell them what they'd found down there. Within only two hours of the call being made, a team of Minuteman logistical engineers had found their way down into the underground military storage facility. First thing they did was nearly shit their pants at finding Ebony standing there on top of the crates with a clipboard, helping the team take some inventory. The massive tarantula girl, upon hearing the gasps and squeaks of alarm, turned on her 8 fluffy legs and gave the newcomers a cheery wave. "Ah, you must be the team from the Minutemen that Sasha said were on their way down here," she said, walking slowly down the vertical side of the crates to stand before the surprised-looking humans who all looked up at her.
Yeah, that's us,
one of the team said, his voice laden with confusion, looking up at the big tarantula girl.
"Awesome. Well, my name's Ebony, and as you can see, I'm an arachnakai. I believe you guys have already wet one of my brethrens before, a jumping spider genus named Malachi, I believe," she said hopefully, and at the name of Malachi, mention of Malachi's name, they all seemed to calm down quite a bit.
"Oh yeah, the tailored dude with the Free Peoples. Damn, that guy can sew. Fitted my brother out with this really sweet coat with a chin strap for his hat and all sorts so it wouldn't blow off in the winds. But damn, you're a lot bigger than he is," one of them said, looking up at her.
"Yeah, I'm a different genus, that's why. I'm a tarantula. We tend to be a bit bigger than our springy little cousins," Ebony said, laughing at her own inside joke.
"Yeah, we can kind of see that," one of the team said, looking her up and down. And that's when Sasha appeared round the corner of one of the crate stacks nearby.
"Ah, good. You're finally here. Come, we have much to do. Come, come," he said, gesturing for him to follow him. And Ebony clambered her way back up onto the crate stack to continue with her task of helping take inventory. Above her, she could see members of the Valkyries flapping around above her head. Each of them had been given a section of the large room to work with, and were currently all logging full crates in their section, as well as what they contained. They would then fly these results back to Ebony, who was working like a coordinator between all of them, as well as the human members of the Cossacks who were currently on the ground working in different areas also. Both the leader of the Cossacks and the leader of the Valkyries were up in the control tower as they were working with the comm system, as well as some of the other systems, to try and get things up and working so that when the time came, the new teams taking over would have a head start on getting things moving. Ebony had to admit, she did rather like these humans and their Valkyrie friends. The humans of the group were definitely not like any she'd ever met in her life so far. And it did make her rather happy to know that there were indeed good humans out there in the world at last. She couldn't help but wonder what this group, the Free Peoples of the Wastes, that they were spoken of were like. From the way they'd spoken about them, they seemed to be some sort of interspecies group, made up of all sorts of different races, including humans, all working together to try and make the world a better place. The very thought of such a group even existing filled Ebony with both a mixture of both profound joy as well as a great deal of sadness. The joy stemmed from the fact that her wish had finally come true. Finally, there were good people out there, including humans, who were willing to stand up and try and make the world better for everyone, not just for themselves. But the sadness, that came from the fact that it pained her that such a group was even necessary in the first place. The very fact that people like her had to fight, and even had to just justify their very existence in this world, was horrific. But now at least, they had a powerful ally in the fight. Finally, someone was in their corner. Someone who could make the others of their kind sit up and pay attention. She looked over at the engineers of the Minutemen as Sasha and Celine showed them around and gave them a preliminary numbers that she'd given to them already. Their reaction had been relatively minor to first encountering her, and while she did understand that, yes, she was big and fairly intimidating when first encountered by someone by a human, that didn't mean she was really a threat to them or intended them any harm. But to be fair, it is something she'd gotten used to over time. Though now, actually having the chance to not only walk about freely on the surface, but to even interact with humans without them shooting at her or trying to rob her, made Ebony feel like doing a little happy dance on top of the crates. And who would have guessed that this chance encounter that could lead to a partnership that could potentially change her entire life for the better? She also found herself wondering about this other Arachnakai that the Freeze Peoples had with them. She'd very much like to meet him and get to know his story. Been such a very long time since she'd met another member of her own kind, let alone spoken to one of them. Well, she hoped she'd get to meet him in time. And soon enough, it looked like the Minutemen were ready to get things rolling along here, so maybe that day would come sooner than later. Pretty soon, it seemed that Sasha and his team were ready to move out. And the power-armoured human soldier along with the large Valkyrie commander, who seemed to be working as his second-in-command, both came walking up to Ebony. "Well, Ebony, we are transferring control of sight to Minutemen now. Our job is done. Here now only questions remain. Would you like to stay here and help them? Or rather come with us and meet others?" Sasha said, looking up at her. Ebony felt her heart flutter in her abdomen about this. You want me to come with you?" she asked in disbelief, and Sasha gave her a smile. "Celine here is of opinion that you need to spread your wings and fly in this world. I try to remind her that these are legs, not wings. She clips me across back of head and tells me I'm pedantic human, and is metaphor. And you need to get out into world in good company so world can see you and make good friends with you. And you show them that you are not dangerous as they believe. On this part we agree. But I still say they are legs, not wings, and telling girl to spread legs can earn you clip across head if not careful," Sasha said while looking playfully at Celine, whose feathers ruffled like crazy at this last part. "That's not what I meant, and you know it. Get your mind out of the gutter, human," Celine exclaimed, as a few of the soldiers, both Valkyrie and human alike, sniggered at their second-in-command's embarrassment. "I would very much like, Commander, but I think I'll keep my legs firmly non-spread if it's all the same with you," Ebony said, joining in on the joke, which made Celine's feathers ruffle even more. "You lot as bad as each other. Girl can't even make a simple metaphor around here anymore," Celine said, stomping off with her large talons clacking on the concrete as she went. Sasha grinned as he watched her go with her large tail feather swishing with determination with every step she took. "She is fun to tease, but I will have to apologise later on if I do not want to spend next week getting scowled at. Condors give worst scowls, believe me," he said, making Ebony smile and chuckle to herself. "Do you really think there's a place for someone like me in your team, Commander?" Ebony asked as the team packed up and she stood over with him overseeing things. You have experience in combat?" Sasha asked, looking up at her. "Well, I try to avoid it wherever possible, but if I need to stand and fight, I will. You do not wish our first meeting to give you a false impression of me. I was kind of caught off guard by your presence down here, and caught on the hop, so to speak, which really doesn't happen all that often. But I'm not a coward, and I will fight to protect what's mine if I need to," Ebony said. Sasha nodded and then walked around her, seemingly sizing her up. "I believe we can find place for you, if this is what you wish. but you will need to train with us. We will need to see that you are worthy of being Cossack. No offence, but not everyone is cut out to be one of us. In fact, very few are. But if you pass tests that we throw at you, you will be welcome among us, big sister, he said. This made Ebony smile and dance about on her 8 fluffy feet, swishing her rather large booty about as she did. Sasha just simply started laughing and she looked at him curiously. What? She asked, and he waved his hand in a dismissive way. Oh, nothing. You remind me of Natalia trying to dance after too many vodkas, is all, he said with a grin. Sorry, when I get happy I just feel like dancing sometimes and I can't help it, Ebony said. Sasha patted her large fluffy leg in a friendly way, which actually surprised her. Not many people were willing to touch her so openly and without fear. Oh, you no need to apologise or be ashamed of this. I am sorry for laughing. It was not aimed at you, I assure you. If you are happy, you dance, till you feel like you cannot dance any more. It's very simple few pleasures in life any more, and dancing is one of them. We Russians know this better than most. Granted, most of us are not good at it. But with a few good vodkas in you, you not care, and neither does anyone else, he said. What's this vodka you keep speaking of? Ebony said, and Sasha's face crinkled into what looked like a look of mock shock. Another day passes, and another day we meet someone who does not know powerful social tool and lubricant that is good Russian vodka. It's shameful, he said, then he turned and looked at his people who were all still packing up. Ivan! He yelled, causing one of the human soldiers to pop up among the team. Yes, boss, man called back with an accent thicker than Sasha's by a webbed mile. Flask, we have another here who never hear of vodka, Sasha yelled, and instantly the man got the same look of mock outrage on his face, though to be fair it actually did look a little bit more authentic than Sasha's had been. Ivan reached into one of his pouches that was clipped to his power armour and threw what looked to be like a little silver flask to his commander, who caught it deftly from the air before turning to Ebony and holding it up to her. Take one swig, and you will see, he said. Ebony was actually shocked at the gesture. This was the first time in her life that a human had ever offered to share a drink with her, and even though he obviously did not know it, this meant more to Ebony than any amount of words or happy dancing could ever really express. She took the little silver flask that seemed to be engraved with a strange language made of backwards and upside-down letters written all over it, and she sniffed at it. The scent hit her right in the face like a slap made of alcohol, and she recoiled, like looking at Sasha in alarm, only to find him grinning at her. Careful, big one. Human drink may seem benign, but is anything but. And I can attest to this, a voice from above her head said, and she glanced up. Ebony found Celine perched atop a crate stack right to her right. Oh, hush you. You only annoyed that we stopped you before you could unleash your best burlesque feather dance, Sasha said, and the noise that escaped Celine was somewhere between a bark and a bear trap snapping shut. If I was ever to do such a dance, it would be so captivating that you'd never be able to look away, let alone stop me, human, she barked at Sasha, who simply grinned up at her. Very well, then. Bet is made and honoured. Next time we drink the holy Russian freer of hearts and great lubricator of socialness, then I will not stop you, and we will see if your dance is as captivating as you believe it to be, Sasha said, his grin never leaving his face for a moment. Celine simply clacked her large beak at him. You will see, human, we condors are not just the predators of the skies, but paragons of sensuality. One dance and you will never look at one of your skinny human girls in the same way again. They will be nothing but a disappointment to you, she said, and with that it was time for angry condor girl stomping off, round two. Thought you were going to apologise to her, not antagonise her further, Ebony said, and Sasha grinned at her now instead. This is apologising, trust me. Celine thrives on challenge, and giving her a chance to prove me wrong, as well as show off her skills of her people, will have her fired up for quite some time, he said with a grin. I'll take your word for it. I don't think I want to be on her bad side, Ebony said, shaking her head. What time you spend with us, big girl, you will understand us. Now come, drunk. Let us see if vodka is your demon or his angel, he said. Ebony took a deep breath, and with that she took a swig of the powerful smelling liquid almost immediately regretted it. It tasted a lot worse than it smelled, but oh boy did it warm me from the inside. Kinda like a warm punch. As she coughed and spluttered, Sasha roared with laughter and patted her fluffy leg again. "And another is bitten by demon," he said, taking the flask back before sealing it up and throwing it back to Ivan, who to her amazement caught it without even looking up in the box he was packing, as if he could sense the flask and its presence wherever it was. Later on, once they were all loaded up, the group headed up out to the tunnels towards the surface. By now the Minutemen seemed to have called in reinforcements, as there were more of them marching down the tunnel with every mile that passed. But as they walked, it seemed that Sasha had been right about Celine, and she seemed pretty fired up now and was constantly talking about the joys of a good feather dance as performed by a handsome Valkyrie boy. She also kept insinuating that if she won the bet, she was going to get Sasha to do a feather dance for her as her payment for winning. To his credit, Sasha just seemed to be taking it all in his stride and nodding along with her. He was either completely crazy or was just so accepting of things that he was willing to roll along with them for the sake of his team. It's hard to judge, really. Which, though, she did wonder to herself what the grizzled human soldier would look like doing one of these so-called feather dances. Finally, they reached the surface, and as the light grew ever stronger with every step they took, Ebony felt her fear rising. The surface had never been very kind to her or her kind, and now as she headed towards it for the first time in a very long time, she couldn't help but feel the tremors of its memory in every step she took. To his credit, Sasha seems to notice this and once again patted her large leg with his armoured hand, causing her to look down at him, though this time his face was hidden behind his helmet so she couldn't see his bright blue eyes. "Worry not, big girl. This time will be different, yes. This time you are not facing raiders, and even if you do, you have powerful friends who will not let them harm you or fool you," he said confidently. "Raiders have to be fucking fools to mess with us," Celine barked with a laugh. "Being fools is what makes them raiders in first place," Ivan said from the back of the group. Celine ruffled her head feathers, but nodded. "Good point. Damn, now even I find myself surprised that Ivan can see this," she said, making the rest of the Cossacks laugh and Ivan snarl and sulk at the back. Finally, they emerged into the almost blinding sunlight, which caused Ebony to put on her special glasses that she'd made from some new cocoa bottles that used a dark glass that she'd found and ground down into a fitted into a set of special frames that she built that had covered all 8 of her eyes and protected them. "Now, normally, your everyday tarantula have pretty crap vision, and granted, her eyes were nowhere near as sharp as one of her jumpy cousins. But thankfully the human genes in her had managed to make her vision at least passable, and even let her see proper colours. But sunlight was still a bit of a killer if left unfiltered." Ebony looked around at the large human camp that seemed to have popped up at the entrance to the tunnels, and she found herself somewhat amazed at just how quickly they seemed to have organised everything. It's no wonder they spread so fast. To her surprise and somewhat delight, none of the humans running around this new addition to the landscape seemed to really pay her much mind, other than a curious glance, but certainly none of them seemed to be frightened or disgusted by her presence. It seemed to Ebony that these humans seemed to at the very least have some experience in interacting with non-human races, or at the very least they'd been prepared to do so by some that did have the experience. As Sasha and Celine headed off to speak with the commander of the Minutemen's logistical section, the remainder of the team stood by the makeshift landing pad that had been set up for the vertebirds that Ebony saw coming in from time to time to drop off gear and supplies to troops on the ground. "You have a ride in such thing, big girl?" Ivan asked from her side as he watched her turning on her 8 legs to watch the large flying human craft dropping in a cargo net laden with boxes and crates. "Goodness no. Closest I've come to one of those things is when I got chased by one a long time ago. Made the mistake of coming out during the daytime and got spotted by a Brotherhood of Steel Air Patrol. They gave chase until I was able to hide underground and lose them using some railway tunnels," she said. Ivan looked rather sad at this little revelation and he nodded knowingly. "Our brothers and sisters have made many mistakes over a lifetime of brotherhood, but it's something that we Cossacks pride ourselves on," he said, and Ebony looked at him curiously. "What, making mistakes?" she asked in confusion, and Ivan shook his head. No, in learning from them and striving to make things better. We see where others fail and we adapt. We get better. We learn. We take failures of past of both ourselves and those that wear this uniform and we learn from them. One of the biggest failures I see now is believing we are top of food chain and best at everything because we are human. There are plenty of things that are more dangerous than us. Yes, we have big guns, powerful bombs. But take that away, and our armour, and what are we? Naked and afraid, squishy creatures. We're barely able to defend ourselves, let alone others. But take one like you. Take away weapons and armour, you are still strong. You can walk up walls, you have big fangs and venom. You are more dangerous than us, but you are every bit as smart as us. So this is human failing. We thought, well, we were better than you and everyone else, simply because we are human. We were wrong. Ivan said with such honesty in his voice that it actually took Ebony seriously off guard. Wow, I think that's the most humble and smart thing I've ever heard you say, Ivan. Did someone replace your vodka with brain juice? Natalia said, making the other Cossacks and Valkyries chuckle. Ivan growled at her through his helmet. Can I not have serious moment and speak truth for once? Must I always be clown to you? He snapped, which seemed to take Natalia off guard. Hey, now, it was just joke. I mean no offence. She shot back as the other stopped laughing. They suddenly saw the tension rising between the two Cossacks. Take it easy, guys. There's no need to argue. I appreciate your kind words, Ivan. And it is good to see that at least someone understands my plight and the plight of others like me. If more humans like you start to take notice of it and act on it, then really we maybe can change this world for the better. Or at least small parts of it. Ebony said, moving her sizable frame in between the two Cossacks to block the view of the others. This is what I say. And I am glad you see it too, Ebony. Ivan said, and Ebony could feel that Natalia was about to snap back at him. But before she could, both Sasha and Celine came strolling back over to them. Okay, we have turned over control of site to Minutemen. They have organised us flight back home. We will use one of these cargo vertibirds rather than our own bird. Our new member might have problems fitting in it, Sasha said, gesturing to Ebony. Oh, I don't want to be a bother. I can just walk if it's going to be a problem, Ebony said, turning on her eight legs to look at Sasha, who simply waved away her concern like a bad smell. It's no bother. You are going to be Cossack, and Cossacks stick together. One for all, yes? So is no problem. We adapt a problem, we overcome it. It's Cossack way. Sasha said happily, which seemed to diffuse some of the tension between Natalia and Ivan. But there was something still in the air between them. She could feel it in her hairs. It didn't take long for the large cargo vertibird to come flying over the base. And after it dropped off its supplies, it made a landing on the pad and made ready for the team to board. Ebony was a little nervous about this, but she was gently shepherded on board by Celine. Come on, big girl, if we Valkyries can fly in metal human box, and we have wings to do it ourselves, you should have no problems, she said gently but firmly, aiming the girl towards the back of the craft. Ebony made her way slowly up the ramp and into the dimly lit cargo bay of the large craft, and while normally closed in space did make her feel secure, I thought it would soon be propelling her through the air, only did set her hairs on edge. The large bird jolted and Ebony made a slight squeak noise and withdrew herself in between her legs for safeties. Her spinnerets twitched and danced with nervous energy as the large bird lifted them all into the air and began its journey back to the Minutemen HQ. After they'd only been in the air a few minutes, a call came through from the pilot over the internal comms headset that they were all wearing. Well, those that weren't wearing power armour helmets that were connected into it anyway. Got an emergency call from HQ, Commander. Patching it through the comms, the pilot said. Roger that. This is Sasha. Go ahead, Sasha said into comms. When you get back to HQ, you're to report to the General immediately, Commander. It's been a development and we need your expertise in it, the voice of a softly spoken man said. Roger that. I'm guessing you cannot say more than this, yes? Sasha asked. Not yet, Commander. Details are pretty sketchy and the General wants to debrief you herself, the comms officer replied. Okay, roger this. We will report to her at once we land. Make sure she is told we have a new member in our team, as do not surprise her. Yes? Sasha said. Will do, Commander. HQ over and out, comms officer said before closing the line. Looks like there's no rest for Wicked, Ivan said. This surprises you? Sasha replied, and Ivan laughed. Not even close to surprise, Ivan said. The vertibird jolted again as it came to a rest at the Minutemen HQ, and Ebony hadn't recalled the time when she was actually happy to crawl out of a tight space before this time, and suddenly the open sky was far more welcoming than the metal box was. Her kind revelled in tight confined spaces, and they kind of gave a natural comfort and a sense of security to them. Kind of why they tended to live in underground tunnels or caves or burrows. But this time, the sky was far more of a comfort, because at least now her 8 fluffy feet were planted firmly on the ground. No sooner had the team landed and unloaded from the back of the bird than a young soldier ran up and saluted both Sasha and Celine. Thanks to her sensitive long leg hairs, Ebony could actually hear what was being said. Now, while she did indeed have eardrums and ears like a human did, she also maintained the ability of her arachnid ancestors, in that she could pretty much every single hair on her large body was so sensitive that it could detect even the slightest disturbance in the air around her, and this included sound waves. Over the years, her kind had honed themselves to be able to use this ability to actually make sense of both human speech as well as other sounds made by a whole host of other species. It gave them a serious advantage when it came to eavesdropping on a conversation at distance, even in a maelstrom of other noises that would have covered it up to normal or human ears. The soldier was greeting the pair and telling them that the general really wanted to see them both and the whole team right away, as there was an emergency brewing. So Sasha called the team to order and led them all into the fort. The Minutemen fort was a pretty big place, well constructed and heavily defended. Ebony could see why the Minutemen would use this place as their base of operations, thanks to its big thick walls and good sight lines, being near impossible to approach the thing undetected, and much harder to breach, thanks to the work they had done on sealing up any holes in the walls with some pretty seriously heavy reinforcements. As Sasha and Celine led them into the conference room where the meeting was to take place, Ebony saw a group of humans all dressed in military-style fatigues, all seated at a table ahead of them, and she actually felt all of their eyes lock onto her as she scuttled her way down the narrow corridor towards them. While feeling a bit self-conscious, Ebony pushed through it and emerged into the large room where she was able to spread out her impressive leg span as she turned to face the seated humans at the conference table. Ah, so you must be the new addition that Sasha mentioned over the radio. Nice to meet you. Another Arachnakai, are you not? A very well-spoken woman at the head of the table said with a directness but also a gentle warmth to her voice. Thank you, it is nice to meet you as well. And yes, I am. My name's Ebony, and I'm an Arachnakai of the Tarantula genus, she replied, turning to face her directly. Well, that explains the size. Though I must say I'm surprised to find yet another of your kind out this far. From what Malachi told us, most of your kind have originated around the Nevada area, correct? The woman said, and Ebony surprised that this was the general, and she nodded in response. Yes, that's correct. Though the vast majority of my kind still live there, some of us have struck out on our own, like myself and undoubtedly this Malachi that everyone keeps mentioning to me, she said, and the general nodded. Well, it's good to meet you either way. I'm sure you'll be a welcome addition to the team. If you've managed to impress Sasha here, then you're more than welcome among us, she said. Then the general turned to Sasha and Celine, and her expression instantly turned businesslike. We have what I believe is a real problem brewing, and we could really use some Cossack help on this, she said. What is troubling you, General? Sasha asked, mirroring her tone. Someone's hunting our field commanders. Just yesterday we had one taken out by a sniper, and we chalked it up to a ballsy raider with a decent gun trying their luck and getting lucky. But today, as you and your team were flying back, someone took out the head of a logistics section right behind you, she said, and Ebony heard Celine's beak clack hard. Coward waited for us to leave to do this. Was too scared to get into a fight with those who would hunt him down and extract justice from them, Celine snarled. My second-in-command echoes my thoughts perfectly, General. Send us back there. We will find this assassin, and we will bring them to justice. My word is given on this, Sasha said defiantly. The general smiled and nodded approvingly. That's what I hoped you'd say. We've refilled Bird for you, and there's a full resupply of ammo being loaded up as we speak. Find this fucker before they find any more of our people, Commander, she said, and Sasha saluted. You have our word, Cossacks and Valkyries will not rest till we find these cowards and bring them down, Sasha said, and Selene ruffled her feathers proudly at his side in agreement. Good hunting, then, all, the General said, and with that, Sasha turned and shepherded his people back towards the Bird again. Well, looks like we will need to put full training for you on hold. Have you ever handled weapon before? Sasha asked, looking at Ebony as they headed back out into the courtyard of Fort. I know the basics, but I don't make a point of using human weapons if I can avoid it, Ebony admitted. Sasha nodded knowingly. Thought as much, as you are not carrying one. Well, that changes today. If you are to become Cossack, you eat, sleep, think and drink Cossack. That means you carry a weapon, you know how to use it. It will become part of you as your legs are, and you will feel naked without it. Now, question is, what weapon would be best for one like you? He said thoughtfully. Probably something with a high rate of fire or a decent spread shot if her eyesight is not that sharp. Selene mused thoughtfully, and Sasha snapped his fingers as an idea hit him. Tub thumper! He exclaimed, making all the Valkyries look at him in confusion, while Ivan suddenly got a real evil smile on his face. Was wondering when we would have use for that thing. I had it brought up with us when we came here, as I heard we had many non-humans about. I was hoping we could find some use for it. Though now, this is not who I thought would wind up carrying it. But I'm glad I will get to see it, he said. Go retrieve it, Ivan. Meet us at the Bird and we will take our newest member through the operation of it. Won't be perfect for her, given her love of tunnels. But she'd work good on surface as well, as long as she does not cluster us up with others too tightly, Sasha said. Ivan saluted and vanished ahead of him on a run. What the hell's a tub thumper? Selene asked, and Sasha gave her a grin. It's premium Cossack engineering. We came up with it as a way to clear tight tunnels and caves, but we haven't really found many people capable of using it properly, as his recoil is pretty potent. But to someone who is anchored to floor with 8 feet that can stick her down, should be potent, he said. As they approached the cargo Bird, Ivan was already pushing a large crate out on a trolley, while still wearing the same massive grin on his face as he began to crack it open. Ladies and gentlemen, with or without feathers or fur, I present to you Tub Thumper, he said, hoisting up something that looked like a cross between an M134 minigun and a shotgun, out of a crate complete with a backpack full of what looked like tightly packed shotgun shells. What the fuck? Selene exclaimed, looking at the six-barreled weapon as Ivan hoisted it up proudly. Why Tub Thumper? Ava asked curiously, and she inspected the large weapon with her large, detailed eyes. Because it sounds like someone is banging metal tub with hammer when it fires, Ivan said, never losing his grin for a second as he handed the large weapon off to Ebony, who lifted it as if it weighed nothing. It looks cool, but how do I use it? She said, expecting the rotary cannon weapon. Sasha quickly took her on a crash course of how to deploy and mount the weapon, as well as how to use it safely and unload it safely. While he did so, Ivan explained it to the still confused-looking Valkyries. Tub Thumper was originally designed to clear out tunnels of ghouls and other nasties very quickly. Sends wall of lead death out in front of it so rapidly nothing can stand against it for long. Not even power armor if loaded with correct ammo. And as this is best part of Tub Thumper, as is essentially shotgun underneath, can be loaded very easily with very many different types of ammo, and ammo is pretty much everywhere for it. Can even work as man-portable close-range anti-air for dealing with annoying bugs and other flying nasties, he said. All of the Valkyrie suddenly shuddered and ruffled their feathers as they shared a thought of how nasty such a thing it would have been if it had been deployed against them during the war with the Brotherhood. Flying into a cloud of buckshot really didn't seem all that appealing. Test firing, block your ears, Sasha called, and all of them quickly deployed ear protection as Ebony aimed the weapon out over the dead ground towards the ocean. The weapon really did sound like someone going apeshit inside a metal tub with a fucking hammer when it let loose. But holy shit, did it tear things apart. Ebony had aimed it at an old abandoned fishing hut and jetty, and the tub thumper reduced the entire thing to floating splinters in less than 2 seconds with nothing more than simple buckshot. It just rotated and emptied so much into the air at once that a cloud of lead simply tore the wooden building and jetty apart. Long barrels fitted with chokes concentrate shot and give much longer range than normal shotgun would. Not weapon you should wish to be in front of, unless you are inside maybe tank, or maybe power armour, Sasha said happily as the weapon spun down. I'm not a fan of human guns, but this thing is fucking cool, Ebony exclaimed, making the tub thumper safe and checking it, just like Sasha had taught her to. Sasha nodded approvingly at that. See, you have hallmarks of good Cossack. You are crazy, you like big guns. We will make Cossack of you yet. But for now, we must rely on Big Gun to keep you safe, along with us. So, come, grab spare ammo pack and let's go. We have cowardly assassin to hunt and turn into confetti, Sasha said, and with that, the team rapidly headed for the bird. So that was chapter 149, ladies and gentlemen. And it looks like Sasha and his Cossacks are going head-to-head with the Dark Angel, or somewhere down the line. But who's going to come out on top of that fight? And will Ebony get a chance to use her big gun? Only going to be one way to find out the answer to those questions, and probably so many more. Going to have to tune in next time. So until next time, this is Ghost Nobody signing off and saying, see you all next time.